Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, I reckon the phrase sporting legend is a very overused phrase in today's modern sporting world, but truly we're privileged today because we do have a sporting legend with us. How about you introducing him to our listeners?
Almost a bit nervous here, Rick. He's a bit of a hero of mine right through the Speedway. And we've got the great John Bolger with us here today, Rick. And,
yes.
Well, I shouldn't even say, but born the 18th of June, 1945. We won't say an age. They can work it out, John.
I'll forget myself.
I can't even add it up that far. Retired in the early 80s, mid 80s, somewhere around there.
That's right. Overseas professionally, yeah, finished in end of 79. I did 13 years over there.
Yep. Yeah. Raced midgets in the 80s.
Yeah, that's what I did
to
too.
Mid 90s.
Yeah.
Nine SA championships, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
seven in a row.
What was it?
Two Australian solo championships.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
Well, he's discovering things about himself that he never knew.
Well, I am too.
Australian team won the world championships in 76.
Yes.
And I believe you were the captain of the team.
Yes.
Hadn't been done since 1952 before that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that was something. That's true, yeah.
John doesn't realise this, but for our listeners, this is quite stunning. This is one of the first times Phil's ever done any research in his life for this show.
And you're correct.
You're doing very well.
he's done well.
Yes.
His first SA title, 1970.
Right.
And then seven in a row.
Oh, was it really?
Seven in a row. And now, of late, which is a few years back now, teaching the young riders.
Yes,
Have we got any name? Did you do a Shane Parker or?
Shane was one. Ryan Sullivan was another one.
Yep.
Brett Waterfield.
I know Brett from Williamstown.
Yeah,
I know Brett well.
Well, he actually, now he does buy motors, but he says.
Oh, really?
Because I did all the training for nothing. You see, I thought, well, I had a good time with Speedway.
Yep.
It was good to me. Come out in one piece. So I thought, well, I'll just add in, just do sort of train the kids a bit. When they come from the Sidewinders, when they're 16.
Yeah, that's right.
Bikes.
Yep.
And so I did that, and I used to do, not one a year, I used to do little training schools more often.
Okay.
So it was every, I can't remember, it was a long time, 2 weeks or month or something like that.
Yep. Unreal.
Yeah.
In 85, you dabbled in sprint cars, is that right?
Oh, yeah, one season in a sprint car, yeah, but it wasn't too good. I kept bloody hitting the fence.
The fence off him was too close.
I was going right instead of left.
That slows you down when you're riding.
Yeah.
And expensive too.
I just drove them. You know,
and
wrecked them. It's funny when it comes to that, boys, because my wife used to go and watch me drive the sprint car and then the speed car for a while, you know.
Yep.
And she said, oh, John, I'm getting a bit nervous. I think I'm getting too old. I can't handle anymore. I said, what do you mean? I said, these have got roll cars. I said, you've seen me bounce off fences in England and roll down the track. She said to me, John, you knew what you're doing on a bike, but you bloody well don't know what you're doing in the car. And I thought, she's right.
And she went alongside to tell you either, because you know how the wife is always to tell you what to do in the car.
Yeah, I was speechless. I thought, well, she's right. Isn't
They're very rarely wrong, are they?
Oh, no, never. Especially when you can't cook and can't sew.
Can be mistaken, though. 2011 Australia Speedway Hall of Fame.
Oh, right, yes, yeah.
That's what it says.
Am I
here
making these up?
No, you're right, because that photo around the corner, they were changed now and again. I'll put the Hall of Fame one up, then I'll take that.
Oh! And then a 2014 Cycling SA Hall of Fame.
Oh, right.
Yep.
There you go.
I think I'm just rejigging the memory here.
I might have
made some of these up.
No, you haven't.
Now, Rick, we've had a quick chat with John just before the show, and he's been in England, rode in England for many, many years. Now, you just told us that quick story about your mate. You can repeat a bit of that if you can, John.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah, well,
it's a ripper.
We'll just go quick. The first First time I went over there, I got on a boat with 50 English pounds and blobbed in England after a 4 weeks with 25 pounds on a motorbike. But then after that, my mate come back, or three mates come the next year. I had to pick them up at Southampton Docks. And two of my motocross riders, I dropped them off in London. And my little mate, Dingo Davies, Dingo Davies, I took him up to, Leicester with us. That was it. Then after that, he rode second division, I rode first division. He went into, he stayed there and worked in a bomb factory up at, cracker factory or something. He got a job in the winter up in Nottingham and got new digs there because landlady sold a house in Leicester. Anyhow, so I come back there. We used to write to one another. The old emails, the old
blue
Dear Dingo, you know, dear John. So anyhow, we'd write and say what we're doing and everything. And anyhow, I got to Heathrow Airport and the team manager said, John, I've got to take you up to where Dean is. And I said, all right, fair enough. And I thought, well, he's got me digs up there. That's good because the landlord there had put up a brand new shed. And we never had anything like this before. And the shed was like just a single car.
Even had a roof on it.
Oh, yeah. Keep the snow out. So anyhow, I rolled up there and the landlord, his landlady gave me something to eat and everything. I was talking to Dean and everything. And it started to get late. And I said, Dean, did you find me digs here somewhere? You're going to get digs around the corner for me or something. And he said, oh, I've got a bit shy. He was a bit shy then. And the new landlady said, John, if you want to sleep with Dean in a double bed, you can stay here. I said, 12,000 miles away if you sleep anywhere. So we slept together for 3 years and then he married the landlady's daughter. And I moved into the single room and she moved into the double bed, so I lost me mate.
How good a story.
So when you got no money, you know, when I started, I'd only just started racing when I left, and it's like apprenticeship. You start off, you know, first year, second year, third year, so then you get up a little bit further and then you start winning a few races and your pockets start to jingle, you know.
But, John, you told us just before the show that it was 3 weeks in and you had a letter or an email or whatever from England?
Yes.
Letter, no email.
letter. I probably delivered it.
Yeah. Wanted me to come over because I didn't really have any money. And so I wrote back and said, I've got to get there sort of thing. So give me £150. And I'd have made in the train. I got on the boat for £148. On the Achillea Lilroy, and that was some years ago. It was hijacked, but it was all right in my day. So left here with 15 English pounds and a second-hand motorbike. Lobbed in England with £25. I used to go to gym. I'd round myself with soft drink. I couldn't. I was just really dedicated for my speed. Yeah, that's all I wanted to do. And got picked up from Southampton by the captain of the team, actually, who was the promoter's son. And took me up on a Monday. I put my bike together that night.
Hang on, put your bike together. You put it together.
Oh, yeah, it was in a crate, you see, but it wasn't too
bad. Where's the mechanic?
No, that's me. It was there.
And water boy.
And then raced the following night, Tuesday night.
I mean, it's all hard to believe because you see these teams now. I watched the Speedway this morning, the FIM, you know, and they've got people just running around everywhere.
They want a month to have climatic settling in periods.
And it didn't start with Speedway, though, John.
No, I did what you call scrambles and motocross sort of thing. And I used to go to Speedway with my father, and he's a mechanic for Merv Harding, late Merv Harding, and he taught me a lot in Speedway. Unfortunately, he passed away, but I used to go and watch, and I always loved Speedway, you know. So, but to break the ice, to get off a motocross bike, or as it changed the name, onto a Speedway bike, there was no training or nothing. And Dingo, my mate, we always talk about this. He said, my God, he said, the worst thing ever. He said, you bought your Speedway bike. And he went from a Beezer Bantam scramble bike onto a 500 Jap, which is... a lot more horsepower than a piece of man.
And no brakes.
And we got rolled up at practice. And he said, the worst thing, JB, he said, when you walk out there, he said, I've been to the toilet 10 times before. He said, and then I walked out the track and they shut the door behind us. And there's no going back, you know. You had to try and slide the thing around the corner.
Favourite track? Was it Raleigh Park or better ones in England?
Well, I raced that many. It's, but I think one I used to like racing was Halifax, because that was bank.
So where's that?
Oh, that's up about 100 mile up from, it's up in Yorkshire.
Okay.
Yeah, Halifax. In England, yeah.
Yep.
But that had bank corners, not as high, oh, yeah. not as high as the Norwood Cycle Arena, but, yep. but it had quite
a okay.
It was like a switchback.
So you could really let it go, yeah, and then come up down.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was, when you had it, when you're going, it was quick and it was hair-raising. It was great.
So what sort of speed are you doing?
Oh, good, I don't know. I never had a speed.
You haven't got time to look, I guess.
If anybody
it'd have to be, what, like 100? 100 mile an hour?
Oh, I reckon 100 mile an hour is like the long tracks. And
oh, okay. Big tracks, yeah, the bigger.
I don't know. It's only probably, I don't know, yeah. 60, 70 yeah. mile an hour. I don't know.
I know. It's a lot to come off.
It's quick.
It's quick. It is quick.
It is quick.
That's sorry about that. That's my phone just going off there, folks.
It's the trouble of Phil being so popular, isn't it?
That's what it is.
He's got a persistent friend there anyway. Now, there's nothing worse than jumping all over the place, but when I was reading about you, John, I was intrigued with your debut at the Melbourne Speedway when, according to what I've read, you were basically gifted a ride with the promoter thinking that you'd go nowhere, and just as a young kid, you broke the track record during your first ride. Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, I thought that was even before I started racing. Right, I think the week before Len Bowes.
Yes, I think you're right.
Took myself over and Deanie Davies, my mate. You know, as we started together, and I can remember that. I just round the slot line and shut my eyes. I had the speed, but I didn't really know where I was going. But it just happened like
obviously, it was very effective.
Yeah, but I think the track was only pretty new over there.
Too, all right.
So, yeah, wouldn't have lasted long.
Dear me.
All right, Rick, you got some more? Do you want
to... Oh, no, you can go ahead. I was just intrigued by... I mean, that's an amazing start, debut for anybody over anything like that.
Rolly Park, what an atmosphere, though, John.
You
get down there on a Friday night and the hair was up on the back of your neck. And then, they used to have the handicap. Remember, they had the handicap races where you'd start at the back you could hardly see. You'd be around about four corners, you know. And in no time, there goes JB flying past the whole lot. You know, absolutely amazing.
Well, not all the time.
A lot of the time.
Sometimes I found it hard to catch him.
Must have been your mechanic's fault there.
Oh, yeah. What I used to like about that, I used to go around on the mark and all the young kids used to come to the fence. And I think, it's wheelie time now. So I used to do a wheelie. One night I went arm over the You can't win them all.
Show us fall offs.
Yeah.
Worst injury?
Well, I got three cartilages out my knees.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But that happened on the squash court.
Yeah.
I did played a lot of squash.
Yeah, okay.
And for reaction, I always wanted to be, played England here. But it's probably the tumbles from Speedway that caused it. I had a scaphoid. I didn't break it, but that was the worst one. When you come over, if you go, I collected a back wheel, which is the worst thing you can do on a bike. Down goes your hand, I cracked the scaphoid. I didn't break it.
Yep.
And I had a special plaster made.
Oh, okay, so you keep going.
I had world qualifying rounds coming. And then down at Exeter, I was behind Major. That was Ivan Major's track.
Oh, yeah, Ivan Major.
It was first ride of the night, and I was number one of the Leicester team, and he was number one of Exeter, and then bang, he's out of the trap, and I stayed right behind him. And next thing, must have come out of the exhaust, went straight in my eye. Never come off or anything, but I ended up on the bedpan. No, not a bedpan. I ended up there. Exeter Hospital with a bedpan. I wasn't able to get out or anything, because I said my eye hemorrhaged again.
Yes,
I
would have lost it. Oh, wow.
And I actually... Only reason I got home, there were some Leicester supporters down there. They could drive.
Oh, so they got you there.
I said, all right, yeah. And that was like on a Friday. And the Sunday was a qualifying round. I was captain for the World Team Cup down Ipswich.
And you get to see out of one eye.
And it's funny how I couldn't. I couldn't know what happened because it's all, you know, they give you the drive support and it's all.
Yeah.
Well, when I'd race and I never weeped.
Really?
And yet when I'd come in the... got off the
bottom. Oh, really?
Started pouring.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
No, 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 no. And we actually beat England there. They were the strongest team, and we beat them at Ipswich to go into the final for the World Team Cup, you know.
Now, listen, before we finish this first show, you've got to tell me, because, dear listeners, we had a bit of a talk beforehand. This man has got the most amazing story about his world final in Poland in front of 130,000 people and the way it was organised. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Oh, well, back in those days, you had all the Swedes and it doesn't matter who, I had all their mechanics and everything. My father's over, then we've got a tram out. Well, I'm pretty sure it's a tram. We had to get out, kind of like there, and then we go in. I just show my car. My bike's all behind, in my jail, you know.
Yeah, lock up. Yep.
And then I'd get it out of there, and my father's pulling the fuel in, and I was, had to race it sort of thing. Anyhow, so from there, I looked around, and I could see all these army people. And they run it. They put everybody into their positions, you know, all their seats. And then we went out. Now, at Wembley, you'd go around in some sports car, or some of your flag on representing Australia. We all went around in army trucks. Yeah, I never get that. Yeah, that was it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. 130,000. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. It was just...
That is unbelievable.
Gee, that atmosphere must have been just amazing.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I can just picture it all with the flags and the army trucks.
I know.
Only thing missing was the Gestapo.
They were there. They looked after you. Yeah. But the funny thing is, one of the Polish riders, right, because, see, all the bikes we had were Jawas.
Right.
Made Czechoslovakia. So they got them all for free. You know, communist country, they all, how they do. You know, Russians, you know. Yeah. Well, halfway through and the Poles are racing, and I'm filling my... doing something to change my tyre on the back and everything. Dad's putting the fuel in. And out comes this Polish rider. I forget who it was. He couldn't speak English, but he's got a brand new head in his leather bag. He says, I want a boy. He said, and it was 20 quid. I said, no, 10. So he went back again. So he had all of the commissars and everything watching the bloody Kassar and everyone watching the race. And he's run home, you see. Well, I got it for 10 quid in the end. He did a couple of trips at the right time. they have run the world final and they're selling their can to get the sterling, you see.
That is magnificent. Yeah. Well, John, it's been an absolute pleasure and hopefully we might be able to get you to do a second show. Now, it's something you don't know. Yeah. We have built in a tradition of trying to produce the worst sports joke during or at the end of every show.
Rick's done a very fine job of doing that.
The worst ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got one to close today's show. Did you hear, Phil, about this well-known big-noting footballer? And he was hassling the airline agent at the check-in ticket counter, yelling and using foul language. However, the agent remained polite, pleasant, and smiled for the whole time until the customer... kept abusing her until he left. When he finally had gone, the next person in the queue said to the agent, "Does that happen all the time? I can't believe how nice you've been to him." The agent smiled and said, "No problem. I took care of it. He's going to Sydney. His bags are going to Bangkok."
Well, you didn't have to laugh, John. That was quite good, actually.
Yeah,
right?
All right. Well, until next time, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.
And this is John. Yes. Right. Thanks again, pal.
No worries.